This is the Todd Wright Toddcast. It is presented by Pin Chasers. Pin Chasers is celebrating their 60th anniversary in the Tampa Bay area. Three locations to serve you 7 days a week. 6816 Gale Boulevard in Zephyr Hills. 4847 North Armenia in Midtown Tampa. 5555 West Hillsborough Avenue. That's the Veterans location because it is just east of the Veterans Expressway and just north of the tip of the landing strip at Tampa International Airport. Visit pinchasers.net for information on their late night specials, their breakfast bowl specials 7 days a week, other anniversary specials. It is a birthday party destination, group outing destination. Pin Chasers is on Facebook and very active with posting their specials there as well. Thanks to Anthony Peroni. Congratulations, Anthony, on your 60th anniversary with Pin Chasers in the Tampa Bay area. Huge supporters of Todd Wright Tour Golf Tournaments, as are Full Torque Fitness, and specifically Daniel Shipman at Full Torque Fitness, who has my respect not just because of what he does, but how he does it. One of the most organized, detail-oriented people that I deal with on a regular basis. You will like the way Daniel speaks to you. You will like the attention Daniel gives you, whether it is one-on-one individualized training or small group training. And Daniel is going to put you through a Titleist Performance Institute screen, because what that does is it identifies your limitations, helps remove them to get the most out of your golf swing and improve how you feel physically about playing the game of golf, especially if you get tired playing 18 holes of golf or you suffer from either occasional or regular lower back pain as a result of playing golf. Daniel Shipman's Full Torque Fitness is online at fulltorquefitness.com. That's fulltorquefitness.com, or you can call him. Trust me, he'll talk one-on-one to you on the phone. 727-351-5164. Or you can always talk to Daniel one-on-one at any Todd Wright Tour Golf Tournament, as he and his colleagues are offering complimentary stretching before we actually send everybody out on the golf course to play. He's been doing this for all my events in 2019, and that includes the upcoming Todd Wright Tour XXII on December 14th at West Chase Golf Club, our golf tournament and holiday spectacular, which, as of yesterday, is now sold out. However, if you would like to be high on the waiting list in case there are cancellations and finally play in a Todd Wright Tour golf tournament, you can email me directly at toddwrightgolf@gmail.com, toddwrightgolf@gmail.com. Remember to follow me on Facebook. I'm simply Todd Wright in Tampa, Florida, or on Instagram at toddwright2019 for information about Todd Wright Tour golf events. Our first one was October 25th of 2015, and we're up to number 22. And 2020 is going to be a hell of a year, with events already booked for both Black Diamond Ranch and Innisbrook's Copperhead course, and more to come. Those who play regularly in Todd Wright Tour golf events get first opportunity to buy into future Todd Wright Tour golf events. This prevents people from simply cherry-picking the best golf courses and playing in those and not playing in the rest of the schedule. I reward people who come out and play on a regular basis. Again, my email is toddwrightgolf@gmail.com. Now, for podcast purposes, and yes, here's an update. If you hear anything you would like to have a further conversation with on a Todd Wright Toddcast, you actually email write.todd@yahoo.com, write.todd@yahoo.com, my last name, dot, first name, at yahoo.com. You email me if you want to engage in a back and forth where I can respond to your opinion, whether your opinion is constructive or, dare I say, destructive or somewhere in between. It is the only way that I am going to know what you said, and to me it shows you have the guts to actually put your name and your email on it. Many of you appreciated the passion with which I called out a loser who at 3:11 a.m. in the morning last Saturday night into Sunday with an extra hour to either sleep or do something fun. But at 3:11 in the morning, he was posting a pathetic comment about me being a loser and why on the JoeBucksFan.com message boards. I openly invited him to engage me in conversation about what he has a problem with via email and not be a coward. As of the time of this Toddcast taping, 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time on Wednesday, I have not heard from the loser that is Fort Myers Dave. I know you're not surprised. Neither am I. Once a coward, always a coward. Now, speaking of coward, this is going to stun some of you. And you know what? I hope someone tells him that I said this. I'm going to talk about Colin Coward. Yeah, I am. Now, let me give you a little background. This sounds like Ted Knight and Caddyshack talking to Ty Webb, and Ty Webb saying, you know, my dad never liked you. I never liked Colin. I have made no bones about it. I haven't made a huge deal about it. I haven't gone out of my way to make him someone that I talk about on a regular basis. But from the first time he ever did television on Fox 13 in Tampa Bay, I didn't care for him. And then he did radio 5 days a week on a sports radio station in Tampa Bay, and I didn't care for him. And then it was, I believe he went out west after that, Portland, maybe. Not like I was following along intently. And then around the time that I was about halfway into my 10-year run at ESPN, when Tony Kornheiser was not going to host the midday show anymore. I love listening to Kornheiser. I've loved PTI since the day it was first on. I even had the pleasure of a few times here or there guest hosting the Tony Kornheiser radio show. His supporting cast on that show hated me, but it was an honor for me to host that show. It really was. So Kornheiser leaves, and the day that we sort of got word that the Tony Kornheiser show on ESPN radio had an end date, someone was in the room with me down at the ESPN club on Disney's Boardwalk in Lake Buena Vista, Florida, where at that time I was doing a significant amount of my All Night with Todd Wright shows. They were proximate to home for me. It wasn't a problem in the evening hours for me to travel up Interstate 4 to Orlando and then drive back in the middle of the night after doing the show, or the great people at Walt Disney World would often offer me hotel rooms to sleep over and just stay on property while I was doing the shows. But I did a number of shows from there. So when that word came down, I was in that studio, and someone, let's just say was in ESPN management, turned to me and said, you know, and I said, what? And this person said, you're on the list. And I said, really? And there was a nod. And I said, that's really flattering, because in those days, and I don't think much has changed, you were either the haves or the have-nots. The shows that ESPN Radio Network cared about were the morning show, 6 to 10, the midday show, which was 10 to 1, and then the afternoon show, which was 1 to 4. And no, unlike local radio, they didn't give a shit about afternoon drive. They didn't, because they couldn't get it cleared in Eastern or Central markets. No, In local radio, that's a big deal to be on Afternoon Drive. From an ESPN Radio Network standpoint, the three shows that had all the resources and had all the marketing, backing, drive the guests there, make those shows sound good, were the morning show, the late morning / midday show, the early afternoon show, and that's it. Now, I had clearance late at night. Oh, I had clearance. I was on everywhere. I was on in New York. I was on in Chicago. Mamola knows this. I was on in L.A. I was on in San Francisco. Heck, out west, some of those western stations used me as their morning show in a very tricky way. I was on in Dallas because I did a number of shows in Dallas at the ESPN affiliate after attending Cowboys games for all the years that I've been going to Cowboys games. I was on in Toronto on 590 The Fan. That's how I met Jody Vance. Oh, boy, I botched that. Anyway, that's for another podcast. Yeah, totally botched a shot at Jody Vance. Don't know what the shot was. Totally botched it. We're friends now. She's better off. But yeah, I blew it. So that all said, we'll do that podcast sometime during hockey season. So that all said, I simply looked at this person and said, is the new host of the slot that replaces Kornheiser going to have to work out of Bristol, Connecticut? And there was another nod. And then I said, well, then I'm not a candidate. Because by then, I had totally lost my taste for Bristol, Connecticut. And at that point, they still weren't of the ilk as they are now with people like my former Pentland Tower floor mate at the University of Miami on the second floor. Was I 209? Yeah, I was 209. He was in 215. Le Batard gets to work out of Miami. And various other people get to work out of various other cities. Now, I know they're still doing a lot of stuff there. There was even a thought for a while there about moving all night to Anaheim, California. An ESPN Zone had just opened. That didn't fly with me. Thankfully, there was someone else working on the show who was asked to move. That didn't fly with them. But I basically said, I'm not a candidate. I'm not moving to Bristol, Connecticut, even to be a candidate to host that show. And the response was surprising. Are you sure? And I said, 100%. Because to me, geography means a lot. For a lot of you, determining factors in your life are family. Well, my family's all dead. For me, geography and my friends are more important to me than anything else. And the two go together for me in Florida, specifically Central Florida, Tampa Bay area, Orlando. So that was the end of that. I'm serious. I don't string things along. I don't string people along. If it isn't for me, it isn't for me. I move on, and they move on without me. Colin Cowherd got that job. Good for Colin. I still didn't care for him. After a while, ESPN didn't care for him either. But that's kind of the way he goes. So, I don't watch his TV show. I don't listen to his radio show. Don't follow him on social media. Just kind of something I don't pay a lot of attention to. Until about 1 hour ago. I'm scrolling through Instagram because I wanted to put up a post for some friends involved with a new sports bar and pub in the Tampa Bay area in a location where I used to do some golf tournament business with what was in there before. And there were some nice people involved, and they had invited me to a soft open, and I want to make sure that people know they're there. So as I'm setting up the Instagram and Facebook post to give them a little push as a thank you and supporting my friends, that page comes up on Instagram of things you might like, right? That's where we are with social media. That's where you are with shopping on various merchants, although I've ripped eBay, that if I'm looking for, and I'm still trying to find, a Drew Pearson 88 or a Danny White 11, eBay should not send me, say, hey, well, you know, we know you were looking for that, but what about this? And it's like a Ryan Tannehill Dolphin 17. No, that's not the same thing. Instagram seems a little bit better based on what you click on and what you like. And suddenly there was this video of Colin Cowherd talking. And for some reason, I clicked on it. And it was Colin Cowherd. I don't know when he did this week. Basically, looking into the camera, talking into the microphone, and apologizing. I'm paraphrasing Colin for one of the dumbest things he's ever said. Now, it wasn't something that would have gotten him fired. No, not like that. Not one of those apologies just to save your job. No. It was a passionate, heartfelt admission that he said something that he never should have said, and he went out of his way to correct it. He put too much stock in the remainder of the season in the Cleveland Browns and downgraded the Baltimore Ravens. And he basically said, as he was watching their respective games on Sunday, again, I'm paraphrasing Colin, he realized how stupid he was. And I'm watching this, and I'm thinking, I can't believe I'm watching this. I love that he apologized. I love that he actually held himself accountable for it. I mean, I could nitpick if I paid attention to him that it was the stupidest thing he ever said. Might not be the stupidest thing he said in the last week or month, but I digress. I give him credit. If more of the big-time talent did what he just did, I might actually watch more of that shit. I might actually put stock in more of what they say. Because he's not the only, quote, loudmouth on TV for multiple hours at a time. And he's getting paid very handsomely to do it. So good for him. But the reason I don't listen to those shows and I don't watch those shows and kind of retired from the business, I mean, I don't work for anybody. I don't consider this work. And I'm not employed by anyone doing this. I have a new gig starting Friday that you'll hear about. I'm not an employee. It is not full-time work. I don't consider it part-time work. It is a gig, and I can do it or not do it. So, Colin, I loved your apology. I love that you did it. Make it a weekly segment. Think about one thing you did somewhere along the way. Doesn't even have to be an on-air thing. We all do things every week. You know, my buddy Drew Garabo in Tampa does Take It Back Thursday. Every week, Drew invites any listener to call in and puts upon himself and others on the show, what's something today you wish you could take back? But I was fascinated that I was enjoying listening and watching A Piece of the Herd with Colin Cowherd, and I admire that Colin did that. Here's my nitpick to Colin Cowherd from that rant. He described Freddie Kitchens as, when he talked about how good of a coach John Harbaugh is, which he is, then he compared Cleveland's head coach to John Harbaugh, and there is none. And he said Freddie Kitchens is a busboy at Applebee's. No, 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 Colin, no. I beat you to that. Not that you listen to me. You have no reason to. Freddie Kitchens to me, and I've said this to Gil Alexander and on this podcast and elsewhere, I never agreed with the Freddie Kitchens hire. I told Browns fans, I like what you're doing, but don't botch the head coach hire. Get yourself a real head coach. Don't promote someone from the old staff. Get yourself a real head coach. You're going to need it, or this isn't going to work. And that's a big problem there. So no, Freddie Kitchens, not the busboy at Applebee's. No. Look at him again. Look at him on the sideline. Look at what he's wearing. As I've said before, Freddie Kitchens is the guy that when people in an area affected by tropical storms or hurricanes need to board up their windows, and we head to the Home Depot, and everybody's trying to get plywood to board up their windows. Look at Freddie Kitchens and tell me that he is not the guy who is kind of in charge of getting people in and getting people out, of getting their plywood to board up their windows for an oncoming tropical storm and hurricane at the Home Depot. Maybe it's all the orange, but it's more than that. That's what Freddie Kitchens is. Not the busboy at Applebee's. All right, quick thought on the CFP Top 25, which in a previous podcast I talked about how Power 5 doesn't matter. Sorry, American, Power 6, layoff. There isn't even a Power 5. It's more of just a top 10 world. Hell, Florida fans will tell you, it's not even a top 10 world. They're the number 10 team in the first CFP rankings. The All-State playoff predictor says they have a 1% chance of making the playoffs. Ask any Gator fan with a brain if they have a 1% chance. They know it's gone after they lost to Georgia. Doesn't mean they're not going to have a, quote, successful season. Doesn't mean they might not make another New Year's Six bowl game. But playoff? Playoff? No. So there's Florida at 10, out. You guys can have your fun with Ohio State 1, LSU 2, Bama 3, Penn State 4, Clemson 5, Georgia 6. Here's the bottom line on all six of those. Any of those six. Win out, you're in. That's it. That's pretty simple. I like how Herb Street told the Clemson fans, relax. The playoff predictor has them as more likely to get in than Penn State. That backs them up. Clemson wins out, they're in. No way they're not in. Georgia's the same way. They win out, win the SEC championship, they're in. So I want to focus on 7, 8, and 9. Because this is where I have a bit of a bitch. 7 is Oregon. 8 is Utah. Fletch reference. You go to Utah. You stay in Utah. The story is Utah. 9 is OU. It ain't going to stay that way for long. Because the Pac-12 is not getting into this playoff. They're not. And why Oregon and Utah are ranked ahead of Oklahoma now, to me, is not only wrong, it's somewhat irrelevant. Because if Oklahoma wins out, that's going to include a win in 2 weeks at an undefeated Baylor, which is 11 in the CFP. 11. And better than any win that Oregon and Utah can have until they conveniently would play each other in the Pac-12 title game. But Oregon has no quality win. Utah has no quality win. They both beat Washington. Yippee! Oregon blew a big lead in Jerry World against Auburn. Auburn's not in the top 11. Auburn's going to have another loss to Alabama in all likelihood. That quality loss isn't going to get any better. It's not going to get them anywhere. Utah's loss was at Southern California to a third-team quarterback. Sure, Oklahoma's loss was to K-State. Last I checked, K-State was in the top 25. Nothing wrong with their season. Sure, they're not as high as Auburn, but I'm still introducing that. OU has a playoff pedigree. Oregon's is a few coaches removed. Utah has none. Oklahoma will move past Oregon and Utah if they keep winning, because they'll probably have to beat Baylor twice. And again, Baylor right now is number 11. OU wins out. They'd have to beat Baylor at Baylor's home field and then beat them again on a neutral field in Jerry World, where conveniently an Oregon team couldn't win to begin the season. Pac-12 isn't going to be part of this. If there's someone below that top six that gets in, it's going to be OU at number 9. I can't believe the first year of the CFP, Ohio State made it in, and in the first rankings, they were 16th. Again, my email, if you'd like to engage in conversation with anything you hear on the Todd Wright Toddcast, is write.todd@yahoo.com. write.todd@yahoo.com. And yes, a new webcast starts for me on Friday via the Identity Tampa Bay. Just Google the Identity Tampa Bay, and you will find that they currently offer webcasts. They have a football show with Derek Brooks and the great Ira Kaufman, and starting Friday, they will feature a show with me. More on that to come. The Todd Wright Toddcast is presented by Pin Chasers, celebrating their 60th anniversary with three locations in the Tampa Bay area. Visit pinchasers.net or follow Pin Chasers on Facebook. And of course, Daniel Shipman and Full Torque Fitness. Get more out of your golf game. Enjoy playing the game of golf more. FullTorqueFitness.com, 727-351-5164. FullTorqueFitness.com. At 3:11 a.m. tonight and every night, I will be sleeping, not posting grammatically incorrect comments on a message board. I'm still waiting for it, Myers Dave. I'm waiting for your email. write.todd@yahoo.com. Come on. You know you want to write me. Thanks for listening to the Todd Wright Toddcast. Thanks for appreciating what I do in the Toddcast. Make sure you subscribe. This is episode 61. Not bad for a first year, and we got almost 2 full months to go.